For decades, Glenda Jackson has dazzled, winning 2 Oscars, Women in Love and A Touch of Class, as well as 2 Emmys for her Queen in the BBC's Elizabeth R. Then she became a Member of Parliament, she said, to take on Conservative Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher.
We were told that everything I had been taught to regard as a vice, and I still regard them as vices, under Thatcherism was in fact a virtue. Greed, selfishness, no care for the weaker, sharp elbows, sharp knees.
When I first was elected, somebody said to me, how are you going to manage working in this all-male club? And I said, well, that's been my experience all my life, and that was true.
Now at 82, Glenda Jackson is playing a man, King Lear, in the new gender-bending Broadway production.
Now we have divided in 3 our kingdom. And 'tis our first intent to shake all cares and busyness from our age, conferring them on younger strengths.
Lear's decision there to divide his land among his daughters will be one he will regret. 2 of them turn on him, the 3rd, Cordelia, his favorite, he banishes. Ruth Wilson plays Cordelia and Lear's fool, the young man, as we hear in the scene, who tells him things others dare not.
Oh, if only I had 2 coxcombs and 2 daughters.
Why, my boy?
Well, if I gave them all my living, I'd keep my coxcombs myself. There's mine. Beg another of thy daughters.
Take heed, sirrah, the whip.
Oh, yes, yes. Truth's a dog.
Lovely to meet you. Hello. Big fan.
We sat down with both Glenda Jackson and Ruth Wilson in Glenda's tiny backstage dressing room, where I admitted I was scared to death of this outspoken icon. I want to read you back, Glenda Jackson, some of the descriptions of you.
Oh, please, they're just
wonderful. You entered an interview like a blade flung by a circus thrower seeking its target. You were described as like a gleaming scythe slashing an overgrown field.
Me?
Dear Lord.
Scythe.
Me?
A blade.
Oh, my God. There are 2 things that have been said about me that I never understand. One is that I'm frightening. I find that impossible to believe. And the other is that I speak in complete sentences. Well, don't we all speak in complete sentences? I mean, what does that mean?
After leaving Parliament, Glenda Jackson went to see a friend, a woman, playing Lear in Spain. At the same time, Glenda began getting offers for work.
Well, I was very surprised that I was invited back, actually. And she said, why don't you do it? And I said, don't be ridiculous. They'd never let me do Lear in England. Then the suggestion of King Lear came up again, and that's how it happened.
You know, that's funny because I was, of course, wanted to know, had you always thought, well, I could do that. Why couldn't a woman do that? But no, you actually didn't think that.
Absolutely not, no. It is a privilege to be in this play.
Well, and Ruth Wilson, here you are in this play. Mm-hmm. Your character, the fool especially, in the scene on the heath, curled sometimes, you know, like a cat around the Lear that as Cordelia you can't touch, mm-hmm. but as the fool you can. Mm-hmm. You walk on, you make entrances together. It's almost like a Charlie Chaplin, you know, variety act. You're like plastered right behind her, your arms and your legs in sync.
She occasionally gets a thud for doing that.
Yeah, too close?
Yes.
But I was wondering, and I know she's sitting right here, mm-hmm. but what's it like to inhale Glenda Jackson?
Wow. It's amazing. No, Glenda's been amazing to work with. Glenda's very tactile with the fool and loving towards the fool, whereas Cordelia is the kind of, there's a conflict.
Well, yes, and also, of course, Lear says, where's my fool? And everybody says virtually, well, ever since Cordelia's gone, he's blown it. So there is that link between the 2 characters as well.
Well, the truth tellers.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You've said, going out on stage is always like being on a high diving board and not knowing if there's water in the pool.
Absolutely. I pray.
Yeah, it's frightening. And I find it with this play, it's kind of mad because, I mean, the whole show is like a nightmare. And it's so extreme and I'm just like, ugh, I think every time before I go on. It's like dull ache of fear.
But because every performance is the first one. I mean, you've not played to that audience before. And I've decided we're all sadomasochists, actually, who enter this profession. But for me, if I don't really feel afraid, I'm really, really very worried. You know, where are you? Where's your head? Come on. It's.
I think we all find God the moment before we go on.
It's I like certainly a sign thank of a him. Cross.
Yeah. And Lear seems to find him over the course of the play.
He realises his lapse is I mean, certainly that speech where he talks about poor naked wretches, that is a revelatory moment for that man.
Poor naked wretches, wheresoever you are, that by the pelting of this pitiless storm, and with your houseless heads, your unfed sides, your looped and windowed raggedness, defend thee from seasons such as this. Whoa! I have taken too little care of this.
I was thinking last night watching you that you get the one line on Lear, demented, falling into dementia. And to me, he was falling into knowledge and sanity.
Absolutely. Absolutely he does. Self-awareness. And yes, I mean, on one level, of course, he's way, way off in some other world. But the realities of life for other people is something that is suddenly, he gets punched in the nose. Because, you know, his whole life, no one's ever said no to him. And he realises, A, he's been cheated by those people. And there is this sense of awareness within him, which is amazing.
Talk about the physicality for you. I didn't care about gender at all within seconds.
No one has ever mentioned it to me.
But I'm wondering if for you, in crafting the character, was there a gesture that you brought to it? You know?
No, what I brought to it was when I was an MP, I had to visit old people's homes, day centres, things of that nature. And one of the very interesting things that I saw over the years, that as we, as individuals, grow older, those absolute barriers which define our gender begin to crack. They begin to fray. They get a bit smoky. And if you think about it, you know, babies are born and then we teach them what their gender is. But as we get older, those areas begin to fray. And I find that quite useful. And somebody said to me the other night, quite amazingly, she said, I've seen this play many times. She said, it's the first time I've seen that maternal side of Lear. And I thought that was very interesting.
At a certain point during the play, I got very emotional because I was like, what am I seeing? I recognize this. And it was my mother.
There you go.
When she had the night terrors.
Yeah.
You're nodding.
Well, because other people have said similar things to me about their parents. And I understand that.
And then in the morning, her face pulled right up. And let's go to IHOP and get a pancake.
That's one of the amazing things about getting old. I mean, the inside me, I think I'm about 15. But unfortunately, the envelope that carries me along refuses to do what I tell it to do. I mean, it has its own ideas about picking things up and walking and all that. It's very, very disobedient. And the other amazing thing about getting older is you realise how much you don't know. It's just staggering.
Yes. Ruth Wilson, there's so much that's so universal when families fight. You've had a project that many of us have been glued to the television here in the States watching, Mrs. Wilson, which is your telling, you play the role of your grandmother, who discovered after her husband died of a heart attack that he, in fact, was a serial bigamist spy.
Yeah, an incredible story. And we only found it all out in the last 10 years. I mean, it's quite spiritual, really. I don't think I've really processed it properly. Every day, getting inside my grandmother's skin, which is profound. You know, when you're a kid, you put adults on a pedestal and you see them in a certain way. And certainly to get onto my grandmother at the age of 19 and to tell her story and then tell my dad's story at the age of 18, that's been really amazing for me.
Glenda, you've been nodding while she's been talking, and I'm thinking of how you've said that you've worked with men most of your life because the theater doesn't have as many roles for women. I'm wondering if you are looking over at Ruth and thinking, it's changed a bit.
It hasn't changed at all. I mean, it's really scandalous, I find, that contemporary dramatists don't find women interesting. We are rarely, if ever, the central dramatic engine where there is some kind of adjunct. There have been major changes, and still, that has not crept into the modern dramatist's view of the world, and I find that quite bemusing, actually.
And even if they're the lead, they're often still the victims. I mean, I've been frustrated myself, and that is a way of why I've been making my own work. We're all conditioned by the patriarchy, so even women are writing stories which still have women at the centre who are victims.
Linda's head is about to explode.
Well, no, I mean, what I wanted to add, there is still the prevailing underbelly that if a woman is successful, she's the exception that proves the rule. If a woman is a failure, they're all failures. And that has not shifted. And even though we have made strides and will hopefully continue to make them, it's very hard.
Just one last question, Ruth Wilson. So what is it like to be, like, right next to Glenda Jackson? Like, curled up next? Is there, like, a spark?
She treats me with overwhelming contempt.
I was just thinking maybe a special electrical field or some, like...
Yeah, I get an electric shock every time I get close. Oh, yeah. No. Honestly, Glenda, it's amazing being with you because I don't know what she's drinking. She's on some sort of energy juice that I need to have. No, she's amazing.
Good God, your energy levels are marvellous. What about you dancing on that table? It's amazing.
No,
there's so much energy in the play. If we touch into that, it just drives us forward, doesn't it?
When you're interacting and firing with each other, that's absolutely. That's why you do the job.
Of course it is.
Glenda, Ruth, thank you both so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
King Lear stars Ruth Wilson and Glenda Jackson, and a crime has been committed. Glenda Jackson was not nominated for a Tony for her Lear, maybe because she won last year for Edward Albee's Three Tall Women, but Ruth Wilson was nominated for Feature Actress. They are both extraordinary.